There we go. I saw Bethany loves to talk on the phone when she feels like talking, because she hadn't felt much like doing anything lately. So if you invite her somewhere and she says she can't, or she wants to go, so you want to take her somewhere, do something, or you're trying to be good to her, and then she says, "I just can't handle it now," don't be offended, because she can't. All right? Sometimes it's all I can do just to get her to go from one room to the next. So just be patient with her, because we're believing this immunotherapy is going to do something. But it hadn't started yet, and they said it would take 3 treatments before they even can tell if it's doing anything. So y'all pray for her, okay? She's a trooper. She's as strong as they come. She's as tough as a lighter knot. Amen. But I come by and I looked at Bethany. I said, "Bethany, what's wrong?" And she said, "Excuse me." I said, "We usually talk for on the phone for hours. This time you only talk for 30 minutes. How come?" She said, "Because it was the wrong number." Isn't God good all the time? All right, let's get out our Bible. I'm gonna take you up. We're just gonna pray, and then we're just gonna kind of lead you through where we're at last week and start all over again this week. Amen. And it's 10 basic relationship principles. How many got Mighty Army this morning and read it? How many read Mighty Army? It said, "I learned the best way to save face is to keep the bottom half shut." I loved it. When I saw that, I said, okay, somebody hit me right between the eyes. Amen. The best way to save face is to keep the bottom half shut. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you, Lord. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We know, God, you're alive and well, and we thank you for all that you do. I ask you right now, Lord, to just bless us abundantly this morning, help us to get this and to move on with it, Lord. Father, not to beat ourselves up or to beat somebody else up, but just learn from it and keep on going. We know you can do this, Lord. We trust you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. Now we're talking about 10 relationship principles, and the actual verses in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, "Follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord." I'm not going to get all into it, because I really, really took it apart last week. But what I'm saying is, follow peace with all men, meaning you do your best to heal stuff. It says that word "follow peace" literally means, or "peace" means, to bind back together that is separated. The stuff that has been torn all up, you put it back together, set a bone, put stitches in it, whatever it needs. So you do your best. You chase after. You take the initiative to bring peace into a situation, to repair situations. And sometimes the best thing you can do to repair situations is back up and let God do it. Amen? Because sometimes I want it right now. Sometimes I want it immediately, and God says, "Just let me handle it. Okay, I got this." All right. So now, but doing it in a way that pleases God, holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. All right. So now here we go. This is from last week. Won't take a whole long time. Just wanted to ask you, how would you like to see a positive difference in any and all of your relationships? That means on your work, on your job, with your family, with your coworkers, with church members, wherever you want to see a positive difference. Remember, this is about communication. This is it, other than me telling you what we talked about last week, and then we're going right straight into the other ones. So look at that. Remember, that's a gun, and the bullets have "I'm sorry" on it. I hear a noise. Is somebody, is that me? Is that my pacemaker? I want to make sure it's working right, because that's my pacemaker. We're getting ready to go out of here. It sounds like it's going. Is that what it is? Warming up? Okay. So is it this stuff right here, DC? Is that? Okay. So communication, here it goes. It's not what you say. Remember this. It's not what you say, it's how you say it. Remember this now. A lot of us say, "Well, I told him I'm sorry." Oh, really? Really? You know, there has been times where you know, you see on the especially on cowboy movies, when the woman's going crazy, or on the war movies, a woman or a man's going crazy, and somebody has to go in and slap them. Why do they slap them? Because they're being mean to them? No, they're trying to stop them. They've gone on a rate, they've gone on a rant, and they're trying to stop them. So they do something or say something that jolts them, so they got to stop and think of what they're talking about. Well, sometimes God jolts us. We don't like it. Well, thank God he loves us enough to jolt us. Because watch this now. It's not what you say, it's how you say it. So watch this. Real quick, like, it won't take a lot of time. Like I did last week explaining all of them. Communication can be discouraging. It's a cannibal. It'll eat away at your heart. It'll eat away at your emotions and just eat away. It causes distrust. It causes you to caution yourself when you're around that person. Soon it'll be disharmony. You can't communicate with them. You try, but it's really hard. And then finally, disruption. You cease communication. But positive is now you bring encouragement. You got trust. You have harmony and you have connection. We had a good time last week. This is a lot of stuff. I didn't realize quite how much meat was thrown on the plate. One thing about it, you don't get Happy Meals when you come here. When you come here, I promise you, you're going to get praise and worship and in sermon. You're going to wind up going to the steakhouse. Amen. Praise God. Somebody say amen. I heard somebody say, I'm already full. Who said that? Here's the five relationship principles from last week, and then we're moving on. Amen. We see people through our own lens. People can tell you how other people are, but you see them through your own lens. And so because you see them through your own lens, you got to be careful. Because if you see yourself, you'll see others, all right? If you think some person's mighty hard on judging and mighty hard here or there, sit back and look, because it might just be that you are too. A lot of times we look at people, we don't realize that we're looking in the mirror, all right? We're looking in the mirror. When you look in the mirror, you don't like what you see. Sometimes you're looking at people and you don't like what you see. It's because you're seeing what you have inside of you, and it hurts. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Number three, learn to listen from the heart. Number four, believing the best in people usually brings out the best in people. What are you looking for in people? I mean, there are certain people I've noticed. Think about in your own life. Please think about this in your own life. Close your eyes for a minute. Close your eyes. Let me ask you a question. I want you to think about two people in your life, just two. I want you to think about the person that you think probably the most of, and I want you to think about the person that you probably think the least of. I want you to think about this now. Close your eyes. Don't look at anybody else. Please don't point to the person beside you, whatever you do. Think about the person you love the most or care the most for and the person you care the least for. Now, both of them, think about it, both of them can do the exact same thing. Maybe whatever it did, it hurt your feelings or it hurt the situation. Now, the person that you love the most, the person that you care for the most, you usually give them the benefit of the doubt. Just think about it. They get the benefit of the doubt. Well, probably they're having a bad day, and this is just a tough time, and we got to look out for them because they have these problems going on. And so I'll just take care of this. I'll cut them some slack. Now, the same exact thing was done by the person you care the least for. The person you care the least for, immediately you say, they're just trying to hurt me. They're just trying to tear things up. They're just trying to kill things. And so I'm here, and I'm going to take care of it. You know what? The same thing happened with the same exact thing happened with two people, but the one you cared the most for, you get the benefit of the doubt. The one you cared the least for, you're ready to shoot. Now, that in our own mind, God has to deal with that in us because everybody, you can open your eyes again. What you look for is what you find. If you go outside now and you start looking for Easter eggs, I'm pretty sure you may not find one, but you're not liable to find one because you're out there looking for Easter eggs. Amen. If you got there looking for rocks, where are you going to go? You're going to see them. If you got to look at that beautiful sign out there, you're going to see it. Amen. If you weren't looking at that sign, you may walk out and not even know the sign's there. What you're looking for is usually what you find. So if I'm trying to find peace and harmony with a person and find peace and harmony in a relationship, if I'm looking for it, I'll find it. But if I'm going in right to start with and thinking we're going to go down, we're going to fight, it's going to be a mad dog drag down, guess what? It's not going to work because you get out of what you expect. You find what you're looking for in every relationship, especially husbands and wives and kids and their parents. Think about it. You find what you're looking for. So believe the best in people brings out the best in people. Number five, hurting people hurt people. It's not something that you like. It's not something that you care for, but hurting people hurt people. All right? Now, here we go. Let's go with the new stuff here. Ready? Principle number six, this is so cool. Be kind and helpful to each other, tender-hearted, passionate or compassionate and understanding, forgiving one another and freely, and just as God also freely forgive readily and freely forgive others as God has forgiven also you. So principle number six, admit wrongs and forgive quickly. I'm going to let it sink in for a minute. admit wrongs, and forgive quickly. You see, a lot of times we're so eager for somebody else to apologize for what they've done, but we're not so eager to apologize for what we've done. Amen? Matter of fact, it's kind of like, you know what? Here's why, because I judge myself by my intentions and I judge you by your actions. And so because of that, it all gets messed up. If I was to judge all of us by our intentions, it would be different. If I judged all of us by our actions, it would be different. But usually, because I know what I was thinking when I did and what I was trying to do, I judge myself by my intentions. I judge you by your actions. So no matter what you do, it may cause a problem. So here it goes. Watch this. Look, admit your wrongs. Admit them. And forgive quickly. Now, take responsibility for your own actions. This is the core. Listen, this is the core. Please listen, because this will make you grow. This will put spiritual hair on your chest. Amen. All right. Okay, ladies, this will put some gas in your tank. Amen. Guys, this might put some spiritual hair on your head. Amen. All right, so here we go. Take responsibility for your actions. That's the core of healthy and productive relationships. If I don't take responsibility for my actions, then I find myself sinking deeper and deeper and deeper. And if I don't learn to take reactions or take responsibility for my own actions, I can really start acting really, really bad and not even notice it. I can really get under and not even pay attention to what I'm doing because I'm not taking responsibility for my own actions. Instead, I'm thinking that you to take responsibility for my actions. Matter of fact, I say, look what you made me do. How many's ever said that? I have. I try not to say it anymore. Every now and then I'll slip up and say it. But guess what? When somebody's going, look what you made me do, what you need to tell them is, I can't make you do a thing. That's right. Oh, yeah. Adam, when he asked what was going on, Adam said, it's that woman you gave me. And that woman said it was that snake. That was her excuse, and of course the snake didn't have a leg to stand on. So, as next time somebody says, you made me do this, you look back and say, I can't make you do a thing. You chose to do that. Okay, put it back on them because they don't make you do that. Unless they're swinging and you got a duck, yeah, you made me duck. Yeah, I had a duck. You're going to hit me in the head. All right, ready? So now, if you make a mistake, here it is, quickly. If you make a mistake, come on up here, buddy. It'll work. If the battery's done died again, I'm telling you what, this is. I need some AAA batteries, y'all. Come on, buddy. You can do it. I love technology. Isn't it awesome? Modern technology works when it works. It's good when it works. It's bad when it doesn't. Let's see here. Satan definitely don't want you to hear this, because this will make you grow. Okay. All right. Here we go. Let's try it again. All right. There we go. Say, Satan, you don't win. Say it. Y'all sound like y'all meant that, too. If I ever ask God, I'm sick and ask you to pray for me, if you're going to do it like that, please don't. Lord bless you. Lord, he needs your strength. Like the testimony services back in the Church of God. Y'all pray for me. The devil's been on me all week. I don't think I ever make it. That's the testimony service. Okay. Here it is. If you make a mistake, own it. Don't blame somebody else. Own it. It may not be all entirely your fault, but own your part. Own it. I remember at Fountain, many times I went up and apologized. I know good and well. I was sitting in a big old meeting with all the managers. And the guy, the manager sitting beside me, the engineer sitting beside me had blown it. I knew he blew it. He did not keep up to his promise. He didn't keep up to anything he said. He had been messing around. He blew it. But because he blew it, it looked like I blew it. I was waiting on him. Until he started, I couldn't do a thing. So they went down and they said, I looked over at David. His name was David, looked over at me, and they said, okay, David. Matter of fact, Mr. Fountain said, David. There was two Davids. And so I'm thinking, I sure ain't calling me, and I didn't do it. I know I didn't do it. The man ain't done his job. He goes, David. I looked over and said, your name is David, isn't it? I said, yeah. I want to say, but so is he. He says, why isn't this working? And I said, I'm sorry. I just got tied up in some red tape, and it's my fault. I'll make sure it's handled. The red tape was sitting beside me. So thank you. Thank you. There you go. Cool. The red tape was sitting beside me, but instead of me going, well, if he do his job, I do mine. You know what? We'd have been back in that meeting for another hour. But instead, look, when I said it's my fault, it blew everybody away because they were used to everybody passing the buck. And finally, the vice president engineer looked at me, and everybody just looked at me, and they got real quiet. And finally, the president engineer just looked at me and said, we forgive you. Move on. And I'm thinking, wow, this was the shortest meeting, all because I just went and took, I claimed responsibility. I had not done my part, but I couldn't do my part because he hadn't done his part. Amen? So again, if you make a mistake, own it. If you treat somebody poorly, then ask forgiveness. You know, you're never any bigger in somebody's eyes until you ask forgiveness. When you're asking forgiveness, I'm so sorry. I am so, so sorry. You know, just like with Bethany, I'm going to tell you, most of y'all know this. Bethany, one day, I got called back here in praise and worship, trying to learn a song, and Bethany's back there saying her arm's hurting. Well, her arm been hurting for about a month since we had that wreck, and it was just, I thought it was a pulled muscle, because she got knocked out when we got hit in the rear end, and it exposed her belly button, but it also hurt her here, so I just thought it was still that, and I was giving her Bengay and ibuprofen, and she was back there crying. She said, it hurt so bad, Daddy, it hurt so bad, and I said, Bethany, you didn't tell me any of this on the way up here. You waited till right now to tell me now. And I said, can you please stop this? And so I prayed for her, and I walked back in here. And I felt so bad because I said, you know what? She said, but Daddy, it's tingling. This time it's tingling. I don't know why it's tingling. So next day I took her to the doctor, and that's when they found the tumor. And within a few days, there was malignant cancer. And so I have apologized to that girl 100 times. I said, I was just taking it as usual. You just doing your normal thing, trying to make the Pope cuss. And I was in a hurry. And so I have beat myself 100 times over that. And I beat myself 1,000 times over listening to the doctors about her belly button. Instead of listening to them, I should have just took matters in my own hand and took her somewhere else. But when you got doctors and surgeons looking at it, you're thinking somebody would know something. You know what I'm saying? And so, but I have. But you know what? You know what, though? Watch this. I asked her, forgive me, Bethany. She said, Dad, I forgave you when you did it. You talking about somebody slapping you in the face again? So watch. Watch, this is cool right here. Getting defensive. And this was written a week ago. This is part of the principles. I just cut them in half, okay? Getting defensive or bowing up never makes a relationship better. You might be right, but you'll never win. You might be right, but if you always have to win, you'll always lose. Which is more important, peace or you being right? I can think of a lot of things right now that I absolutely know about a lot of y'all in here. And out there, and in my family, that, hey, I could tell you won't make it better, or this and that, but you know what? Peace is better than me having to be right all the time. Y'all smile. I can't see good out there. Y'all really all just, I see some dark eyeballs. Y'all look like y'all, all the Adams family out there, just dark eyeballs. Which is more important, to be right all the time? Me, Mr. Know-it-all, I'm the one that's always got the answers. I know everything. Or just keep your mouth shut. Remember, the best way to save face is keep the bottom half shut. Is to let God handle it. Because I found out when God handles it, wow, it's amazing what happens. Amen? So now, when you are wronged, forgive quickly. keep short lists. Because if you got to keep a list, I remember back in the day when I used to do this, I used to stay mad at people. And I remember being mad at this person and got mad at him. And I hadn't seen him in a while. And when I saw him, I started to go up and hug him. And I had to stop and think, wait a minute, I'm mad at them. And I said, well, what am I mad about? I got to remember before I get there so I can be mad at him again. That's crazy. So you will live with less stress and enjoy more life, more or enjoy life more if you can just learn. You ain't got to always be right, but you got to let God take it always. All right, watch this. Now remember, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows generously, that blessings may come to others, will also reap generously and be blessed. That each one give thoughtfully and with purpose, just as he has decided in his heart, not grudgingly nor under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver and delights in the one whose heart is in his gift. Now, let me tell you something. You think it's just about the offering plate? How many think it's just about the, don't put your hands up. How many think it's just about the offering plate? Okay. Nope. Offering plate's a small part. You know what this is about? Every area of my life. Every area. Do I give to others? Do I give my time, my talent, my treasure? Do I take care of others? Do I do what I can to help others? You know, if I'm always thinking about me, my name is, I can't think of what it is. My name is Bennett, and I'm not in it. Me. Give me. My name's Jimmy. Give me. No. You got to think about it. In every area of your life, learn to give. Give of yourself. Give of your time. Give of your talent. Just give of yourself. You know, it's amazing to me that yesterday's Mighty Army was. It's amazing how one little bitty act of kindness can make a great big impact in somebody's heart. I remember one time, I told some of y'all have heard this. I remember one time we had a lady in our church, 80 years old. Her husband had died. I come by to visit her, and I looked outside, and she was outside with an axe. I said, what are you doing? She said, well, I just got a truckload of wood. I need to split it so I can burn it. And I said, inside I was thinking, have you lost your mind? But on the outside, I said, no, sister, no. Don't take this wrong, but give me the axe and get in the house. And she said, excuse me. I said, give me the axe and get in the house. And she said, why? I said, I just buried your husband. I don't want to bury you. Now get in the house. And so I split enough wood for her to stay warm. Then I went back to the house with somebody I just got out of jail that was in our church, one of the youth that just got out of jail. He was staying with me because his parents were invalids and they couldn't do anything with him. So I had him with me. And I come to him and I said, get up. We got to go. He said, where are we going? I said, we're going to go do ministry. He said, ministry? I said, yep, you'll love this ministry. He said, cool, let's go. We got there and I said, you ever use the awl? I said, you ever use an axe? He said, I thought you said it was ministry. I said, it is. He said, what are you talking about? I said, you're going to bust that truckload of wood. He didn't like ministry too much that day. But the cool thing was, about a week later, on the back row, there was two empty rows back in the back. And while we were singing, two empty rows filled up with her family members. Some of them I'd only seen at the funeral. That's it. And I went back to them and I said, I'm glad to have you here today. Is there a special occasion? They said, nope. They said, but any man that'll stop doing what he's doing and chop wood for my mama, I want to be with. And that back pews, those two back pews stayed full for years and got even bigger because of one time chopping wood for an old lady. The smallest act of kindness can take you a long ways. So now, watch this. Always give more than you take. There's a lot of folks I know that you do this and then some. There's other ones I know, honestly, they tattoo this on their eyelids. Always give more than you take. You see, God wants us to purpose in our hearts to live generously in all ways. You see, you can set your sights to give more than you take. And, you know, this isn't a scorecard. I don't mean, well, they gave me one, I'm going to give them two. They bought me lunch, I'm going to buy them supper. You know, no, I'm not talking about that, not at all. Because you know what? If you're just keeping track of what you're doing, you've missed the whole point. I don't keep track. Lord knows I don't keep track, because I know I'm just trying to please God. You know, I was I was at Hardy's. I call it my East office. I was at Hardy's counseling Wednesday night. And while I'm counseling with this person, this other guy comes in. This black guy comes in, looks over at me and says, "Hey, Pop." All of DC's friends and Daniel's friends called me Pop. And so, because DC and Daniel called me Pop. And I said, "Hey." And he says, he starts talking to me, and he's talking to the person I was talking with. And he says, "Can I sit down just for a minute?" I said, "Sure." And then he began some kind of telling me all kinds of things. And then he just busted down crying. And I said, "What's wrong, man?" He said, "I'm sorry." He said, "I'm really having a hard time." He said, my mama's in Williamston at the hospital there, and said she's in the ICU and she's had a heart attack, and not a heart attack, she got cancer, and this cancer is getting the best of her. She's in the ICU, and I'd really love to go see her tonight." He said, "But I just can't get the situations going." And I said, "Well, what would it take to get you to see your mama tonight?" And he said, "Well, my cousin, if I give him gas money, he'll take me." And I said, "How much did he want?" He goes, "I can't ask you that." I said, "Let me ask you a question. How much did he want?" He said, "But I can't ask you." I said, "I didn't ask you that. How much does he want?" He says, "Well, he said he would need $10 to get me there and back." I said, "Okay." And so he starts crying again. He's just crying. So the person I was counseling was sitting there with this guy, and we're all holding hands, and we're praying in Hardy's. And then I look over at the man, and I said, "Look, he says, "Thank you so much." And I said, "Well, what are we sitting here for? Let's go get you to your mama." And he's crying. And as he gets up, I looked at him and I said, "You know what? Have you had anything to eat tonight?" And he said, "No, sir." I said, "Let's go to the counter." Went to the counter. I said, "Get whatever you want." He got what he wanted. We come back. And I told the other person, I said, "We'll talk later." I said, "Sure." And that person was crying too. I said, "We'll talk later." And so I took the guy and I took him to where he said he wanted to go. And he had his food and all that. And he got out and said, and he reached over and hugged my neck as he got out of the car, and he said, "Thank you for letting me go see, help me see my mama." Now, let's just go through a few things here. I really didn't know him. He knew me because of things he said. He knew me, but I didn't know him. Number two, he was a black guy. That means nothing to me. I'm just saying, in general, he's a black guy. I had to take him down 4th Street. He lives in Washington, know what I'm talking about. And I had to tell the other person, "I can't talk to you tonight because I got to talk to them." But that person was saying, "Please take him to his mama. Please, please, please." And we prayed with him. Bought him supper. Paid for his gas. Out of nowhere. Matter of fact, he took all the money I had right then. That's all I had was his supper and that on me. But again, and I called Linda. Linda says, "Where you at?" I said, "I'm on 4th Street. She says, "Tell me you broke down." And I started telling her what was going on. Okay, now let me ask you a question. Hypothetically, what if you were in Hardy's and a man twice your size, big old black man twice your size, comes in, looks at you and calls you Pop or Mom, and then starts telling you this story and crying like a baby. He even cried when he went to check out his food. When he gets his food, he cried when he got his food. He couldn't even stop talking. So with all this stuff going on, what would you have done? Ask him to get on? Ask him to move on? "I'm sorry, sir, I got to go." What would you do? Or would you look at it as you're entertaining an angel? Matter of fact, I told Linda, we said, "What you doing on 4th Street?" I said, "I'm entertaining an angel." So now, again, very important. Giving more than you take is a way of living, and when your motives are pure, it'll bring you great joy. I pulled away from him, and I just felt such a peace. And I've told my wife in the last month, this is the third time that I felt that, and I believe God was sending me angels. Third time. And each time when Linda says, "What you doing?" I said, "I'm entertaining angels." She goes, Okay, I know what you're doing. Now, do you give more than you take? Or are you always gimme, 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 gimme? Because even in your relationships, man and wife, husband, if you take more than you give, and wife, if you take more than you give, and vice versa, the relationship will go lacking. The best way for a relationship to work, in any kind of relationship between your children, between you, your co-workers, whatever, is for you to give more than you take. Okay? Now, principle, and it's good stuff. Principle number 8. Therefore, encourage, admonish, exhort one another, and edify, strengthen, and build up one another just as you are doing. And of course, seeing these scriptures, sometimes you don't think about them the way I'm bringing them to you. Now, these are all amplified versions, so it's got the Greek in it and the Hebrew. All right, so here we go. Watch this. Make sure that you add value to people. Think about it. Now, by adding value, you can add value to people in just a simple way. How can I do this? You can do it in simple ways. You can do it in big ways. You know, but here's what adding value is to contribute to somebody's life so it's better. I can tell you, every last one of you in here is added to my life. That's awesome. Matter of fact, when I get around some of y'all, you know, and a lot of people I know of, especially my church folk, when I get my church folk or I get around certain people in the community and certain people in my own family, when I get around them, my heart jumps. Because I know, and I'm not talking about gifts. I'm talking about going out of their way to do for you like you would go out of your way to do for them. And or when you're around them, it's not always what I can do for them, but now it is, okay, let's work on this together. Let's get this going. Because then it's awesome. So you add value to people. Now it could be as simple as an encouraging word like the Mighty Army. I bet every week I get about 100 Mighty Armies back. I send out 850, I think. And every week I get a bird back going, wow, that's amazing. How'd you know? And I go, I didn't. It's not me, it's the Holy Spirit. I'm just a Western Union guy. That's all I am, Western Union. I said, but until it speaks to me, I don't put it out there. And so, but it's just amazing. So simple, encouraging word. Or you can do something like a lifetime of mentoring. And mentoring is not easy, because when you mentor somebody, it's like this. I had somebody come up to me in Walmart one day, and the man actually asked me. He said, I need you to help me. I need you to help me with my church. I need you to help me with my wife and my family. And I'm thinking, what kind of help is he talking about? And then he popped up and said this word. He said, I need you to mentor me. And so I asked him, I said, are you serious about this? He says, I'm very serious about this. I said, because mentoring is not me just going around, you know, blowing kisses and fancy stuff all the time. Sometimes it hurts. Sometimes I'm going to get down to business and it's really going to hurt. But it's going to be for your growth. Now, do you really want me to mentor you? Because mentoring is one thing. I mean, being your friend is one thing, but mentoring you, that's another. So that mentor may say things. The Bible says that the kisses of an enemy, or excuse me, the kisses of an enemy are deceitful, but the bruises of an enemy are faithful. Meaning that sometimes you might hear something or see something you don't like. But mentoring. So again, it might be mentoring somebody a whole lifetime or just giving them an encouraging word, but still, you're adding value to people. Sometimes it involves enough love and courage to have a tough and honest conversation with somebody if they'll let you. And give the gift of eternal life is the greatest value you can give to a person. I'm almost through. Y'all looking like you want to be left alone. All right. Principle number 9. That's cool. Principle number 9, Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking or neglecting to assemble ourselves as believers is the habit of some people, but admonishing, warning, urging, and encouraging one another, and all the more faithful as you see the day approaching. Okay, watch this. Principle number nine. You can never encourage anyone too much. Now, I can fake it and be too much. I can give you some wild mess that makes no sense. You know, if you come to me and said, man, you play that bass like nobody ever heard. My friend, I'm pretty sure if the symphony orchestra, the Philharmonic Symphony Orchestra heard you play the bass, they didn't want you playing for them. I go, okay. What you want. But coming up and saying, you know what, you really do a good job, and I see you're learning how to play over again because you learn something different every time. So you're doing a good job. I really enjoy that. You know what, or it really blesses me. That's encouraging. But to tell me, well, the Philharmonic Orchestra wants you, then you didn't encourage me. Matter of fact, that can be too much of them, okay? And like, we were cutting up a while ago, and DC in practice kept saying we had to go to an F sharp. And this was hilarious because at the end of the song, nobody went to F sharp but DC. So DC turns around after the song's over and goes, F sharp! Y'all saw us laughing, didn't you? And all I could think about was Gilligan would always tell the professor and the skipper after they hit their head on the coconut, watch out for the coconut. So did y'all hear me? I said, thanks a lot, Gilligan. All right. So now, it's very important. Listen, it is so, so important to encourage each other and to keep on doing. That's part of coming to church. You say, well, I don't feel like going to church. I can get what I need off of television. No, you can't. You may get some Bible off the television. You may even hear some preaching off television, but you cannot get fellowship off that television. You go up there and take that television by the hand and say, pray with me. That's right. You know, I heard a guy one time, the guy used to say, I want you to walk across here and put your hand on the television set and you'll feel God through me. And I said, he is taking advantage of ignorance. Because when you walk across TV, especially those old screens, the CRTs, when you walk across the screen or walk across the room and touch it, you have got static electricity. And when you touch that thing, remember? So, you can't get fellowship anywhere like this except for in church. You can't get it off television. Even if you had an Instamatic feed, you could talk back and forth. You still don't have the fellowship you have here. Because here you got people of like problems, like faith, people that are learning the same thing, going in the same direction. So it's important. But not only are we here to learn from each other, we're here to encourage each other. So when we come in here, we need to be, look, I know that we've all carried some heavy loads this week. I know we're carrying heavy loads right now. But you know what? It's amazing. I get strength out of being around y'all. I've had people tell me, say, well, you're the one preaching. How are you getting strength from us? By your smile? By your encouraging words? By just patting each other on the back and saying, you know, God's got this. You know, hey, this isn't all. Me preaching to y'all is fellowship. It's something special going on. It's a family. It's a very powerful, powerful thing. You know, I sit back and I think about years ago when I was going to college and I was working at Roses at night, working at the TV shop in the daytime. And on weekends, when I weren't going to school, I was going to engineering school, and I remember all that work and all that stuff going on, and I'd get a little 30-minute break at Roses, and I'd drive over to McDonald's, and I'd grab something from McDonald's. I'd come back in the parking lot and eat, and I'd go back in and go back to work. And Mama would always say, but son, I got your supper cooked. Why don't you come on and have supper? And I think about several semesters of me doing that. Me eating just about every night, eating at McDonald's. That's all we had in Washington was McDonald's and King Chicken. That was it. So I remember going to McDonald's and getting stuff there every night. And now I look back over it. And you know what? I couldn't pay enough to be able to have meals for Mama again. She's gone. And I look back and think, you know what? All that time I could have had with her and all that time I could have had with the family. But instead, I was going to McDonald's, grabbing stuff and getting to the parking lot and eat and going back in. I was missing out on so much stuff. And now that I'm older, I look back over it and I say, man, I could have kicked myself. There's a song, Dear Younger Me. DC, we need to learn Dear Younger Me. Isn't it Mercy Me sings Dear Younger Me? Is it Mercy Me? Who is it? Yeah, Dear Younger Me. If I could tell you, if I could write a letter to myself, and you know, when I was younger, I'd tell you not to worry about these little things and whatever to do. I look back and say, if I could just do it over again. But you see, when we come in here now, I don't want to miss out a chance to get with y'all. I don't want to miss out a chance to have fellowship with y'all because I know that when I get around y'all, something good is going to happen. But remember this, all relationships take time. And it takes frequent and sincere work to to get frequent and sincere encouragement. Now, here's the final one. Somebody say, praise God. Greater love is no than this, than lay down one's life for his friends. All right, ready? Am I doing your talk now? Okay. Maybe we can trade notes. All right. Listen carefully. This one hurt. This one hurt. I did this one about, like I said, I did this initially 2 weeks ago, but I didn't want to bring off 10 at the table at one time. This one hurt. Trust is the lifeblood of all relationships. Trust. When it comes to a relationship, trust is like a promise, and you should never break a promise. So that's the essence of trust. Watch this. People are counting on you to keep your promises. If I go to you and you tell me you're going to help me, and you don't, okay, well, I'm looking for the bright side. Maybe you were having a hard time. Maybe you just couldn't make it. Maybe you were working. There's a difference in a reason and an excuse. A reason is I got called in late for work. I got called somewhere else, whatever. But an excuse is just something I picked out of the sky somewhere to keep from doing what I said I'd do. So, if you keep telling me that you're going to help me, call me anytime, but I've called you 3 times and you never came, I'm not going to call you a 4th time when I get in a bind. Because I'm looking for somebody I can call and I can trust. Somebody asks me sometimes, why you do this by yourself? Or why you do that? Or why you just take care of it? And I say, well, because I called 3 people, 4 people, and I've called them 3 or 4 times apiece, and every time I call them, they tell me they will, but when I ask, when I have it, they're not there. So I'll just take care of myself. Now, does that mean I don't love them? I love them. Lord knows I love them. Does it mean I won't do for them? I will break my back to help them. I'll do whatever I can to help them. But does it mean I need them in a crunch? No. Nobody expects perfection, but they do expect honesty, kindness, and do what you say you'll do. One day somebody called, I told this guy when I saw him, I said, and he was in trouble. He was in big trouble. And I said, you call me if you need me. He said, but sometimes it's not spiritual. I said, that's fine. I said, but you need me, you call me. I can think of two of these like this recently. And the guy said, I don't want to bother you. I said, no, you heard me. No matter what, you need me, you call me. I can't remember exactly what it was, but I get a call. And I'm busy. And here's this guy wanting me to do something like, just off, arbitrarily, just something wild. And so I told Linda, I said, I got to go. She says, why? I said, I'm going to go help this guy get his cat out of the tree. And she says, get the cat out of the tree? And I mean, you're busy right now. You're doing schoolwork and you're doing blah, 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 blah. I said, but I told him, if you ever needed me, call me and I'd be right there. And I said, wasn't spiritual. And I said, he called, and so I'm going to do it. She said, but you're tired. I said, did you hear me? I told him, I'm going to do it. Then not long ago, on a Saturday night, I'm working on my sermon. I'm working on my sermon. My Uncle Ralph calls. That's the guy with cancer. He lives across the street when I live on Possum Track. He called me and said, he calls me Cricket. He said, hey, Cricket. I said, what? He said, I'm in trouble. I said, what kind of trouble are you in, Uncle Ralph? And I told Uncle Ralph, same thing. You need me for anything, you call me. He said, I'm cold. I said, okay, what can I do? He said, you can load my wood box for me. And I said, well, isn't there anybody around there that can load your wood box for you? Because all my cousins are all around there and uncles. He said, well, I had 2 or 3 tell me, listen, I had 2 or 3 tell me they would, but never showed up. I said, okay, I'll be right there. And so, again, Linda said, you're doing your homework. You got paper due tonight. You got homework due. I mean, the sermon due for tomorrow, blah, blah, blah. I said, I told Uncle Ralph, if he needed me, I'd be there. and needed some wood in his box. She said, but isn't there somebody else on Possum Track, not at Slate Stone, that can do it for him? I said, I tried calling people on Possum Track. I can't get a hold of anybody. She said, okay. And so I get in my car. I drive all the way to Possum Track. When I get out of the car, I walk in his house. He said, I'm so sorry. He said, I forgot you moved. He said, but I started calling to tell you to go back. He said, but I know you. If you tell me you're going to do something, you're going to do it. And so I went in and I loaded his wood box. He said, cancer's got him into chemotherapy and stuff. He said, I sure thought I saw you driving up down the lane in Possum Track today. I said, no, Uncle Ralph, that wasn't me. I'm driving up down the lane in Washington. I'm not driving up down the lane in Possum Track. He said, I'm so sorry I got you out of what you were doing. I said, Uncle Ralph, it's not a problem. I told you once, I'm going to tell you again. You need me for anything, you call me. So, let me ask you a question. Do you really want your relationships to be good? Think about all these 10 things that we talked about. Very powerful. These 10 principles will take every relationship to a different level. But at the very end, the very last one, trust. 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 When you can't see God's hands and you don't understand what's happening, you can always trust his heart. When you can't understand the actions, you can always trust his heart. People need to trust you in a relationship. And when they can, you will take that relationship to such a level that amazing things happen. Let's all stand. Golden rule. Come on, DC. The golden rule. Do unto others before they do unto you. Do unto others before they do unto you. Is that one of them? That's wrong. Oh, excuse me. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Oh, that's powerful. That's pretty cool. Mr. Fountain used to always come into big meetings and go, y'all boys remember the golden rule. And we say, and we'd always say, what's that, Mr. Fountain? It says, the man with the gold makes the rules. No. The golden rule. Golden rule. The golden rule. All those 10 things are wrapped up in this. The golden rule. When everybody just to bow your head, we're going to pray from our seats first. Then you can come on up here if you want. But nobody looking around, every eye closed. How many would honestly take a look at how you treat others and how you want to be treated? Nobody else looking around. You could raise your hand and say, you know what? I'm lacking in many of those areas, and I need God's help to do a better job. Could you put a hand up? Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Bless them. Bless them abundantly, Lord. This isn't a beatdown session. This is a lift-up session. This is mentoring. This is encouragement 101. Step up to the plate. Step up to the plate. Let God be God. But you also have a part to play. It's a powerful part. Now I'm going to ask another hard question. You may have been hurt in relationships. You may have been bombarded, slapped, knocked down, kicked, wind knocked out of you in relationships. And you're finding it hard to get back up, to shake it off, and to get back into relationships. God understands this. God knows this. That's part of the reason for the story of the Good Samaritan. There's somebody out there willing to help, to show you that you can trust again, that you can believe again. But I'm talking to you right now with every head bowed, every eye closed, and you're having trouble getting back up because you've been hit so hard, and you want to do this, but you're really needing God to help you do this. We just put that hand up. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Give them courage. Give them hope. Because you got this. Now, if you have any other need in your life, any whatsoever, the altars are open. Come on up here. Start making your way to the altars. Or maybe just whatever you want to pray for. Come on up. Come on up. The altars are open. God wants to do something amazing in your life. God wants to do something amazing, amazing in your life. Amazing. Something that far exceeds what you ever imagined. God's got something powerful for you. God's got something very powerful for you. Very, very powerful for you. God's got it. God's got it. God's got it. Can everybody just put your hand this way? Put your hands this way, this beautiful couple. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, they're desiring your touch. They're desiring your comfort, your wisdom, your understanding. Touch them right now. Meet every need in their life. Let their healing take place, Lord, in my brother's body. And Lord, you got this. We trust you. You got this. Minister to both of them in a very powerful way. Minister to their family. Let your angels just gather around them. Bring them power and comfort and hope. In the name of Jesus, we love you. We thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I also want everybody at will right now to pray for Bethany. She's here, but she wasn't feeling good, so she's sitting back in the back. And remember, if you go to see her before you leave, you can touch her, but just don't squeeze her. Especially on this side. Don't. Please don't. It is really, really bad. Don't mess with this side. Just hold your hand out to her and let her touch your hand. But Bethany desires your prayers. And she loves you enough that she's here this morning. Even though she really don't think felt like coming. So let's pray for Bethany too. Father, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you, God, for touching Bethany. She needs a touch bad. God, this cancer is trying to take her by storm. But God, we know greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And God, you can drive this cancer out. And we thank you for that right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you for her faith. I thank you for her courage. I ask you right now, Lord, to lift her up, to drive this cancer far, far away. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for all that you do. And she thanks you And Lord, every day she says that 10-word prayer, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I thank you for that too. And with Jesus, you're praying. The church said, isn't God good? Everybody stand. Yeah, we got people going, and we've also got teamers, people that are doing it. Stephen is a table leader, assistant table, still table leader, assistant table leader, and he's doing his first talk. So y'all pray for everybody. I mean, pray for him. Pray. Yeah. Yeah, he's doing one. DC's doing the music, and of course I'm one of the spiritual directors. Is anybody else here from our church working it, working behind the scenes? You're working behind the scenes some or something. But anyway, about it, Emmaus. If you haven't got a chance to go on the Emmaus walk, everybody that goes, two things to get them on the walk. It takes two or three tries, sometimes four or five. Once you get them on it, they go, why did we wait so long? There's nothing secret about it. The reason they don't tell you a whole lot is because you got to experience this for yourself. All right? This is probably one of the most awesome 3 days of love and 3 days of understanding God's grace in such a way. It will totally change your outlook. Yeah, water's going. Yeah, so Walter went because he saw Linda when she come back, how it changed her. Amen. Well, God's good. So Emmaus is an awesome thing. So if you get a chance, and we'll keep on. If anybody wants to go, all you do is tell us, and we can make it happen. Amen. Even if there's no room. Last time we didn't have any room, we still made it happen. So that's all right. I mean, they'll make it happen. They don't want to deprive anybody their opportunity to be on the Emmaus walk. Amen? Now, where's my brother Ben? Ready? Brother Ben, would you dismiss us in prayer, please? Come Tuesday night, we're talking about your purpose in God, okay? And it's really awesome. But come on Tuesday night, and also we get to have coffee and whatever else y'all may bring. You got coffee and donuts and all kinds of stuff in that room while we're doing it, and it's really awesome. Amen. Okay. All right, Brother Ben.